tithing. Amen. I want to talk about giving here today. I know when we talk about money, it puts people on edge, some people. I don't mind talking about money. I would like to have more. If God would choose to bless me to be a millionaire, I would not say no. Amen. But I do believe that God supplies our needs, that God is the meter of our needs here today. So I called this sermon Custom or Command. There are those that argue out there that tithing is not a New Testament principle, that it is an Old Testament principle, and that we as a church have just kind of picked it up as a custom of something ritualistic we do. It's just something that we do, but it's not theologically a thing for the New Testament. And I kind of don't agree with that. I believe it's a command. So I'm going to share some thoughts with you out of Malachi chapter 3. I'm not even going to get to the tithing and offering part here today. But as I began to read that chapter, I began to see some things that I don't think I ever saw before or even saw. I've read through Malachi a number of times. I love reading the book of Malachi because it's God trying to get his people back on track. And he presents them with a number of things that they need to deal with. And they're asked, and they respond by, "What are you talking about?" Right? And so this is one of those areas that he's talking about. So today I said a custom or command, and I put the moral dilemma of tithing. And so we're going to tie that in with what we're going to read here today. So there are proponents on both sides of the aisle when it comes to tithing. There are those that believe it's a command. To me today, I stand before you as one who believes that we as God's people should be tithing. And tithing is a command that has, I believe, has carried over from the Old Testament because I don't believe it is of the law, because tithing began before the law even began. It began with our forefather Abraham. I believe that tithing is the financial foundation that God has in place to support the Great Commission. I believe the church, even our church here on Chapel on the Hill, is funded by those that tithe. And so every time you drive onto this property, every time you sit under a ministry of chapel or partake in a church activity, whether it's here on campus or not, it is funded by the tithes of people. So today you are benefiting from the result of tithing. Today you are sitting in chairs, you're sitting in an auditorium. You see that we're remodeling. You're warm in the winter, hopefully cooler in the summer, all these things. We have staff, we have bills, we have utilities, we have all kinds of things that are being paid through our tithes. We have two vans that sit in our parking lot that are being used more and more as we have used them. They are constantly being used weekly, and so we are grateful that we have them to get the team to nice them. They have, 18 going this year, so they needed more than one van. Praise God we had two vans that they're able to go and do that. So we can see the evidence of those that are tithing to our church. And it goes far beyond that. Many times there are needs that arise outside the church. Sometimes they come out of our tithing. Some of it's benevolence, which comes out of tithing. Some of it comes out of chapel cares, which is not tithe to your tithes, but for those who give on a monthly basis, we encourage people to give $5 a month so that we can help the businesses in our area help other people. And so we want to be a blessing to them. I just want to share a couple things with you here, a couple thank you notes that we received that you don't even know we did. But we did, because why? You tithe, you give. It says, "To the members of Chapel Hill, many thanks for your thoughtfulness in providing a dinner for our staff on Open House Day, October 22nd. Not only was it delicious, but it took one thing off of everyone's to-do list while preparing to welcome our students and their guests that evening. And we appreciate you, Lori Sherman Elementary Principal." And so we were able to provide a meal for them on their Open House Day. So that was an opportunity that we were able to do for them. We also got a thank you letter. Sometimes I run it by the board, sometimes I do not. When it comes to benevolence. And here's a letter from Mrs. Austin. She's the homeless liaison at the AC Valley School. And she said, "I want to extend my heartfelt thanks for your generous gift to help a local family in need. Your kindness and support meet more than words can say. You have made meaningful difference during a difficult time. Your generosity is a beautiful reminder of the power of community and caring for one another. Thank you for your thoughtfulness and for sharing your blessings so selflessly. We are deeply grateful for your support and the care you show to others in our community." What we did was we provided water. Someone had a well that went dry, and their family was without water for a number of days. And so we had talked to the school in the past and said, if there's ever a need that arises that we can help you with, we would like to be a resource for you. And so she got a hold of me, and we were able to give, it was just $190, to be able to get a truckload of water to get back into their well, to get them situated. And so that's because of you. It's because you tithe, because you give, that we're able to do those things. And again, some of this stuff goes on that you don't even know we do. It comes out at the end of the year report. You can see what we give out of benevolence, we get, and what goes out as ministry. But I just want to encourage you today that tithing is not something that it affects all of us. So if you're sitting here today, you are a benefactor of those who tithe. So is tithing a custom? I think it's a command, but there are those on the other side of the aisle that think it's a custom. They believe that the commandment of tithing found in Malachi chapter 3 had gone out with Jesus coming in the New Testament, covenant being a replacement for the Old Testament covenant. Jesus mentioned tithing only one time. If you go online, ask, if you look up and research tithing, you will find more proponents against tithing than there are proponents tithing. And I think that's a shame. That you have to do research to find out how you cannot give to God. Isn't that something? Jesus mentioned one time in the New Testament, he mentions the word tithing. He affirms the practice of the Pharisees, believe it or not. But he also mentioned that they were neglectful in the most important things of the law. So think about it here today. Jesus said, that wasn't even one of the most important things. That should be something you're already doing. How many know that just because Jesus didn't mention something or something is not mentioned doesn't mean we're not supposed to do it? Amen. To the Jew, it was already incorporated in the law that they were to tithe. So that wasn't even a question to anybody that Jesus was speaking to. And so I just want to encourage you here today, if you're going to use, well, Jesus didn't talk about it, well, you really don't have a leg to stand on. So if we're going to eliminate here today Malachi chapter 3's teaching on tithing, that it's been voided by the New Testament covenant, then what do we do about all the other Old Testament scriptures that we kind of pull out to our advantage? So what do we do with the Ten Commandments? That's under the old law. What do we do with that? Do we still believe that the Ten Commandments are in effect today? Right? But yet, if we're going to get rid of Malachi 3, why don't we throw out Exodus chapter 20? If we're going to claim that we are walking in Abraham's blessings, I grew up with this. How many know the Bible says that the blessings of Abraham belong to us? Amen? But what did Jesus say? If you're going to walk in those blessings, what did he say? Do the works of Abraham. And what did Abraham do? So if we want the blessings of Abraham in our life, hey, we also need to do the works of Abraham. What do we do at funerals if we get rid of Psalm 23? I wouldn't have anything to say. Right? Psalm 23. What do we do with Psalm 91? He who dwells in the shadow of the Almighty, the secret place, right? What do we do with that? What do we do with Psalm 103? What's it say? Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. All of his benefits. What do we do with that? Talks about salvation, talks about healing, talks about God blessing our lives. So we throw that out too. What do we do with Psalm 119? How many has ever read Psalm 119? All 176 verses. That is one long book. What is the subject of that whole Psalm 119? Can anybody tell me? It's the Word of God. It talks about the value of the Word of God in our life. That's what the whole 176 verses talks about. What do we do with them? What do we do with Psalms 150 and the other scriptures that says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord? So all I'm saying here today is if we're going to eliminate Malachi chapter 3, maybe we need to kind of get rid of it all. I'm going to hang on to Malachi 3. So what do we do with the books of the major and minor prophets who have foretold things that have come to pass and yet things yet to come to be fulfilled if we're not going to believe Malachi chapter 3? So there is a danger in picking and choosing what is relevant and what is not from the Old Testament, right? So let's not pick and choose, all right? So we know what the literal meaning of the tithe means. It means the first tenth. I thought it meant the tenth, but it's the first tenth, okay? Everything belongs to God. How many know the Bible says all the earth is his and all the people in it? All right? It belongs to him. And so that's the reason why we should tithe, because it belongs to him anyway. Secondly, it is a test of obedience. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. You know this scripture. For out of it spring all of the issues of life. Okay. And that's where I'm going here today, because tithing is an issue of the heart. It is an issue of the heart. I'm not going to sit up here and argue with you whether tithing is good, giving offerings to God is good, helping our neighbor is good. I'm not going to stand here and argue with you about it, because I know my God. I know his word, and I know what his expectations are. Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters, either he will what? Hate one or prefer one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve both God and money. Okay? You can't. You can't. It's going to be one or the other. 1 Timothy 6:10, you're familiar with this, for the love of money. Money is not evil in itself. It is a tool that God uses. How many know that? Hallelujah. For the love of money, how many know you can still be poor and love money? For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So my question here as we get into this, and it's in my title, is tithing a moral issue? Okay? Is it a moral issue? When I talk about moral, I'm talking about sin. Okay? I'm talking about sin. So I'll clarify that as we begin here today. So I want to talk a little bit about Malachi here. Malachi, he wrote a book. All right? And this is the last prophetic voice that is written down in the Bible of the Old Testament. And Israel will not hear from God for another 400 years. That's a long time. And Israel's relationship with the Lord had been it's been falling apart. It's disintegrating, okay? And they had abandoned their tithing, and it was one of the signs that God said, hey, this is one of your problems. This is why you're going through what you're going through. This is why you've been taken by the Assyrians. This is why, because you have abandoned what I have commanded you to do, and that is tithing. So Malachi is basically a book of repentance. It's God pointing out things that they need to deal with in their life. And so here we go. We're going to look at Malachi chapter 3. And as I said, I'm not even going to get to the area of tithes and offerings here today. It's going to be the last thing I speak about, and hopefully pick it up next week. So, is it a custom or command? Is it really a moral dilemma that we face as people, whether we tithe or not? I'm just going to let the scripture speak for itself here this morning. Is that okay? All right. And hopefully you'll see something that I saw in here, because I do give. I do give tithes. I do give offerings. But a little conviction came into my life, because it's important that I just don't tithe, because it can become works, a self-justification. God's more interested in my heart. And so this is how this scripture begins. In Malachi chapter 3, it begins in verse 1. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. And so we're familiar with this scripture. We know that this is a reference to John the Baptist and to Jesus Christ. The Lord they thought they knew would show up in the temple. And when he did show up, it wasn't the one they expected. It wasn't the one they even wanted. And we know that because they rejected him. Jesus would be the fulfillment. He would be the messenger of the covenant that God had made for his people. And so when he did show up, when he did come to his temple, they weren't exactly happy about it. And so we see here that God is sending as a messenger. And this message that we're about to hear from is the message about why Jesus Christ came. Verse 2. But who can endure the day of Jesus' coming? Who can stand when Jesus appears? For Jesus will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. Jesus will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. Jesus will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. And the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in the days gone by, as in the former years. We all know that Jesus' ministry was the ministry of reconciliation, because we're called to the ministry of reconciliation in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So Jesus came to redeem his people. We are going to celebrate communion at the end of this service. It is a time of what? Reflection. It is a time to remind ourselves what Jesus Christ has done for us. So Jesus came not only as a redeemer, but he also came as a revealer of sin. It says in this scripture, who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? Meaning that he is the one who will reveal the sin that is in our life. We can self-justify ourselves all we want in any area of our life, but when he comes, he is going to be a refiner. He is going to show us. He's going to reveal it. Not only will he reveal it or show it, but he can also do something about it. Amen? Hallelujah. And so, self-justification. One of the areas that sometimes we justify ourselves in is the way we steward the money that God has given us. So today, no one is without excuse. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Would you agree with that? Amen. All six of us. Hallelujah. As fire refines and purifies precious metal, Jesus purifies the lives of people. And it says in this story, in this scripture here, he begins with the Levites. He begins with those that are leaders. And it will spread to others. But this is what I want you to notice in that scripture. It says, then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. I need you to understand this scripture here. Notice the preposition here today. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. It's not of, they are not offerings of righteousness, okay? But they will be brought in righteousness. The emphasis is on the men, on the giver, those who are giving, not the offering. Righteous men will rise up and give offerings to God. Righteous men bring offerings that will be what? Acceptable to the Lord. I need you to understand that. An unrighteous person giving a gift to God doesn't satisfy God's standard. Do you understand that here today? Unrighteous people cannot bring acceptable offerings to the Lord. It's not the offering that's holy. People are holy, and God wants us to be a holy people. Let me show you a couple examples in Scripture. God warned Cain, did he not? when his brother offered a better offering than him? And this is the conversation that Jesus had with him, or God had with Cain. He said, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. There was a standard. There was a reason why. There was a way that God wanted to Cain and Abel to offer sacrifices. Abel did it correctly. Cain did not. And so God did not accept the offering of Cain. God warned Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15. If you remember, this is Samuel talking to King Saul. But Samuel replied, doesn't the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than the sacrifice. Are you seeing this? To obey is better than sacrifice and the heed. To listen, to obey, is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Folks, he's more interested in the heart that we have than the gift that we give. God expects us to give according to his set standard, his word. But this morning is, do we even accept Malachi as his word here this morning? Or are we going to dismiss it here this morning? I believe it's his word here this morning. I believe it's his command for his church. By people, we are to give according because we have but been refined by the refiner's fire and we have been cleaned by the launderer's soap here this morning. We are cleansed by the word of God. We are made whole when we obey him. So how can I summarize that up? The gift is only acceptable if the person giving it is acceptable. Okay? Paul, writing the second letter to Corinthians, he writes this in chapter 8. And this has nothing to do with tithing. It has to do with an offering. Jerusalem, the area had gone. There's a famine, there's a drought going on, and the churches have risen up, started with the Corinthian church, and says, hey, let's take an offering and help the churches there in Jerusalem. And so we pick up the story here, and this is what Paul says. And he's writing to the churches in Macedonia, and I want you to listen to what's going on here in this story. He says this, he says it in verse 1, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. So it's not a rich church. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able. How many know that's what God asks of us? What we're able to give. We are not called to coerce money out of you. And I don't speak that much on money. I do take offerings for different things. And I usually tell you, if you want to give or feel led to give, give. There is no coercion. If you don't want to give, don't give offerings, folks. You don't have to. Tithe is different. But offerings are different. Besides, in that same scripture, he says what? God loves a... Right? And he doesn't want you to give under compulsion. We're not here to twist your arms. We're not here to get in your wallets and your purses. But what we do is give you opportunities to bless the Lord and to bless others. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us. I don't think we've had that problem, Pastor Whitney, of people pleading to give to the church. Pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service of the Lord's people. Verse 5. And they exceeded our expectations. And this is what I want you to see. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord. Their heart was in the right place. And they gave what they were able to give. And then by the will of God, they also blessed us. Hallelujah. You talk about right priorities. And that's what it's all about. When we give as unto the Lord. It's not about this building. It's not about the stuff that we do. It's not even about the ministries we do, but it's about Him. It's about Him. This was a bunch of sold out crazy people. And so they gave out because they were sold out. They were crazy enough to trust and obey. What's the song say? For there's... All right. To be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. Hallelujah. Money was not their idol. Let's look at Malachi chapter 5. So I will come to put you on trial. This is God speaking. He's talking to His people. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppose the widows and the fatherless, and deprive the foreigners among you of justice. But do not fear, says the Lord God Almighty. God is always examining our motivations. He is always looking at the issues, what drives us, what our passions are, why we're doing what we do. And like Samuel, we often judge people on the outside, but God is examining our hearts. Our hearts determine the value of our gifts. I want you to understand that here today. You remember when Jesus witnessed the woman giving two mites versus those that were giving abundance? He was looking at the hearts. Our hearts determine the value of our gifts. And Jesus said about that woman, she has given more than anybody else. Because it was her heart that gave value. It wasn't the monetary value, it was the heart value. Sin negates our giving. Folks, we need to be a holy people. We need to have our works tried by fire. Verse 6. It says, I, the Lord, do not change. That's a mouthful. So what happened to the God of the Old Testament into the New Testament? Something happened. Some people think it's a total makeover. He's the same God. He hasn't changed. I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you. Folks, this is talking about repentance. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me, but you ask, how are we robbing you? And God said, in tithes and offerings. So, all right. I'm not going to get into the tithes and offerings here today. But this is what I want to say. God has standards. God never changes. God has standards that never change. What He said in the Old Testament, He didn't change in the New Testament. Jesus came and fulfilled some things, right? They're complete. And so we see in this that a tithe was a minimum that was to be given there by those that were Israelites. And if you're familiar with the law, they didn't just give 10%. They gave, if you would go and add up everything that they were to give through every festival, through everything that they were to give, it comes out to be 25%. So if you're given 10%, count it as a deal. All right? Count it as a deal here today. God and His standards never change. Matthew 5:18 says, for truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, Not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of the pen will by any means disappear from the law until what? Everything is accomplished. When Jesus came, he said it was finished, but guess what? The story's still continuing. We're still here. The story doesn't end until the heaven and earth burned up. And that's not even the end, because he's doing a new heaven and a new earth. So it's an ongoing story. And he's saying that my words, my promises, what I said will continue for eternity. Hallelujah. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So when God asks us, I don't know if you've ever encountered somebody that kind of is kind of tight with their money. You ever meet anybody like that? And if they have a stack of bills, have you ever watched someone go like this? Making sure that no two bills stick together because they don't want to give more than they have to. Have you ever seen somebody? I've encountered that a number of times. I was just at the bank the other day, and that lady was, I was like, man, that'd be terrible for the bank to give me more money than they should. But that's kind of like God trying to get money out of us sometimes, right? It's like we're not letting go very easy. Hallelujah. I have other thoughts, but I'll just let it go so I won't get in trouble. All right. Malachi was calling God's people to repentance, a repentance based on conditions. He said, I want you to return to me, and I will return to you. And they asked the question, what do we have to repent of? What are we doing wrong? And God said, you have robbed me. You have stolen from me. You have embezzled my money. And the people responded, how have we robbed you? And of course, he clarifies, by not paying your tithes and giving your offerings. Those are pretty strong words. So according to this scripture, if I'm keeping it in the context, I see that not giving tithes and offerings is disobedience based on a moral issue, a heart issue. It's not so much a theological issue that we're talking about here. It comes down to what's in our heart. Do we love him? Are we going to do what he asks us to do? Are we having trouble with our tithing? Well, it reveals that there may be something that stands between God and us if we're having a hard time doing this. It's called the love of money. We are to be stewards of money and not money controlling us. So this is what kind of spoke to me as I was doing this. And as I said, I was ready to go in, jump in down there at Malachi chapter 3:8, and I was ready to go for it. But I went back and kind of began to read the beginning of the chapter. And it kind of really spoke to me. And in a way, it even convicted me. And so, as I said, someone who tithes and someone who gives, I felt convicted that morality is tied to my giving, that my life needs to be morally pure. I need to be in relationship with him, and my sins need to be under the blood. Only a righteous person can give a righteous gift. Isn't that something? I think sometimes maybe we give and think that's kind of a little bit of a justification that we're serving him, when God says there's some deeper issues in your life. And so I don't want to fall into the category of Cain and Saul here today, that if you would talk to both of them, they thought they were giving offerings that were acceptable to God. And God had to correct them. And so I'm just asking you, as I'm beginning to talk about this a little bit. Is it a custom? Is it just something we do? Is that what you believe? It's just something that's just we do as because it's our tradition. That's how we do things. Or do you really believe that it's a command from the Lord? Because it makes all the difference in the world. So I kind of concluded that maybe some of the lack of my receiving God's blessings may be tied to disobedience and sin in my life. I would like to receive the blessings of Abraham. I would like to walk in the light of that. But I can hinder that by allowing sin in my life. So hopefully you understood what I was talking about here today, because I do believe it's a moral dilemma. Are we tithing? Are we not tithing? What are you believing here today? Is it gone with the Old Testament? Or is it something that's implanted here today? I'm just giving you God's word here today. And as I said, it spoke to me because I never hooked the beginning of that chapter to the end of the chapter. It's connected. Our heart is connected to this whole issue.